Are you at a stalemate in your life? You're trying to accomplish something, you're trying to make some sort of change in your life. The harder you try, the more it feels like something is holding you back. Either people aren't being accommodating for what it is that you want, they're not listening, they're not going along with what it is that you want, or the world itself seems to be getting in your way, that there's some sort of limitation, some sort of obstruction, obstacle that is stopping you. Is that problem, is that limitation coming from within you, or is it actually coming from outside of you in the world, which is where we mostly blame the reasons why we're not getting what we want? It's easy to blame other people. It's easy to blame the world around you, the environment, but maybe it's actually an internal limitation. Maybe it's a limiting belief. And not only that, maybe it's deeply unconscious. And because it's deeply unconscious, there's nothing that you feel like you can actually do about it, because you can't change what you're not conscious of. So the problem we're going to solve today on this podcast is in fact what's holding you back actually a limiting belief, an unconscious limiting belief? And if so, how do you identify that limiting belief so that you can bring it into your consciousness and actually change it and actually do something about it? I'm joined by my co-host, Nate and Yulia. So let's get right into this.
So when you're working with a client, how do you identify if the challenge that they're facing is internal or external?
I think we can almost always assume that there's a limitation going on internally. That there's something that we in NLP we call it our map of reality. And so there's reality itself, which we will never know directly, and even neuroscience has proven that we don't operate directly with objective reality like we think we do. Mm-hmm. We're actually operating from an internal map. And the reason why we have neuro-linguistic programming is because our words, the way that we speak, mm-hmm. is a reflection of that internal map. And so we can hear what people are saying, and we can even hear our own self-talk and identify what's missing, an impoverished map. So the world is not impoverished. The world is full of resources, and the world also doesn't care if you succeed or not. So it's not trying to hold you back. It feels that way a lot of times, but in actuality, what you're bumping up against is an impoverished map. You are missing a resource. You're missing options, choices. Something is not right. Something's inaccurate. And because of that, then you will generalize a limiting belief around that. That person is stopping me. The world doesn't want me to succeed. The world's out to get me, especially, you can go really far with this. If you ever talk to someone who's like really paranoid, I mean, that is the generalization, that the world is actually out to get them. And I'm no different. I have experienced all of these feelings. And just recently, the inspiration of this podcast was, I was telling Nate about an experience that I was having where all last year I was really struggling with YouTube, because it felt like, no matter, despite my greatest efforts, 100% effort I was putting into upgrading my videos and really leveling up my channel, I was failing. And in fact, I was starting to go backward. And it felt like YouTube was against me. It felt like the algorithm was against me. And ultimately, what it felt like is a lot of resentment, a lot of anger, because I felt like I was doing everything that I was supposed to, and it wasn't working. And that's when I realized one of my programs, before we get into that.
That took a long time though. You had to go through a long process of,
you know. And you had to endure that.
I was there, and I have to say, it was so, I couldn't understand your entire perspective. As in, you know, it's just numbers. It's just analytics. You learn from each failure. You learn from each little success, whatever it is, and you move forward. But it felt like, I think you were so deep into it that probably it was in your unconscious, and probably that's why you were in that particular place for so long. And I wish I could have helped you, but I think that's really the thing. You need to help yourself. External people can tell you on and on and on how to think, what to do, but I don't feel like it had any effect on you until you figured out your problem and you found your own solution.
So the moral is listen to your wife.
That's the thing. No, the moral would be like, don't listen to your wife, but no, listen to your wife.
Well, it's interesting too, because I think what you're saying is a good signal of why having a coach or a counselor, somebody on the outside that you outside of your own perspective that you trust and to help you navigate these kinds of things, I think is a critical element. You know, because to you, right, it was obvious to him, and I know we all have those things, right? We all have those things that probably see me and you're like, hey, just consider this other thing. And I think we all have that because it's our beliefs are so personal, you mm-hmm. know, and we're seeing from them. So what did you do about it?
Well, I also wanted to say too, I had a coach, a consultant. He wasn't really a coach because he's not the type of person who coaches you like motivation and NLP or anything like that. He was a YouTube consultant. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say his name because he's easy to find. He's all over YouTube as far as teaching YouTube. And I think the moment where I really had to kind of face what I was dealing with and my anger and my resentment and everything was, I was like, hey, can you just tell me what I'm missing? Like, I feel like I'm hitting everything that you told me to do and it's not working. And he says, Damon, maybe you're just not very good at this. And I was like, first, I mean, it just brought up all that rage and anger. It was like, what am I paying you for? You know, like, and I was just like, but I was kind of frozen. And I was just like, you know what? Maybe that's it. Maybe I'm just not that good at this. So then what's the answer? I either quit or I commit to getting better. Mm-hmm. But I think I needed a break at that point. I needed to take a break and just let this kind of pass over. Because I think when you dig so far into a particular direction, and then you dig that hole and you go, okay, there is no other way to go in this hole. I've only gone this direction. So I actually need to spend some time coming out of it and come up for some fresh air. And sure. So that's what I did. And it started, the program that I was running in my head started to surface, and it was a very childlike program, because I think that's where we learn our strategies. When we're talking about our map of reality, that was forged very early on in life. And to our parents' credit, what they'll try to do is sort of create a context around you. And especially if you have brothers and sisters, this comes about, is very prevalent, which is a meritocracy, right? The, you know, your parents are going to say, well, you clean your room, you get to go out and play, you eat your main meal, then you get to have dessert. So it's basically over and over, you do the right stuff, you get the reward, you do the right stuff, you get what you want. And I was still, that was a program that I was running inside of me. And it's like, well, if I do all the right stuff, then I should be rewarded by lots of views, lots of subscribers. And that's just wasn't happening. And it surprises me at this age, because consciously I know that the world is not a meritocracy. In some cases it is, you know, if you work really hard, you're probably going to get promoted.
Good odds. The odds are in your favor.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But that doesn't always happen. Right. I've worked in jobs where I worked really hard. I tried to, outshine the competition. Mm-hmm. And because I wasn't maybe buddy-buddy with the boss, somebody else got the promotion. And that's just how the world works. It's not a meritocracy. Mm-hmm. So, and I know that consciously. I mean, I've had to function. You can't run a business and think that the world is a meritocracy. You'll get angry and you'll quit. But for some reason, I was still applying it to YouTube. And that started to surface. And I was like, that's a very old program. That's a very childlike strategy. And for some reason, that's still existing in my map of reality, and it's time for an upgrade.
Well, I mean, you have a lot of experience, because you've helped so many people identify those things and make those changes. To give another example, is it okay if we talk a little bit about one of the coaches that are being certified by you?
Sure.
And we won't use any names, of course, but just yesterday, you helped him identify a limiting belief and brought him through some
based on his language. Yeah.
Yeah. So can you share a little bit about that?
Yeah. So he thought that the problem had come from 5 years prior, where he was in the middle of divorcing his wife, her idea, not his.
Hold on, time out. Let me give everyone some context. So there we have a certification for coaches. Damon is sitting on Zoom with them and bringing them through a demonstration on making some changes with their clients' beliefs. And so for that demonstration, of course, you know, and as a coach, you want to always, you know, be the example when you can. So, so he brought this coach and training through a process.
Yeah. And while I'm thinking about it, if it feels like what we're talking about here is rather overwhelming and we're making a lot of points and you want to keep track of everything instead of having to watch the video over and over again, feel free to do so if you want to, but that'll be really good on the algorithm. We're going to put a summary of this in the description. So you'll see a link that will sort of summarize everything that we're talking about here. So you can refer to that summary and make it easy on you. So yeah, he was having a problem, and it had to do with money, and it had to, it brought it back to 5 years ago when he was in the middle of a divorce, not his idea, her idea. And she basically told him that making money, the way that he was making money was bad, and it was evil, and it was immoral, that sort of thing. And so I said, well, you know, what is that? How we even elicited that was, he says, I'm afraid I'll be a bad person if I make money. And I said, did you have any trouble making money before this? And he was like, no, it was fine. So now he's equating being a bad person. When I heard those words, immediately I thought, who talks like that? Who uses such words? Like, if we were talking about something being good or bad, or a business being moral or ethical, that's the words we would use, moral or ethical. Right. I wouldn't say, Nate, I think you're a bad person. You know, that's more like what a child would say.
Right.
And so I knew right away that the source of this problem was not 5 years ago, because he was very much a grown adult 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, okay, I know this goes deeper, but I'm going to let him think that it was just 5 years ago for now, because sometimes it's a better way to function, is not to give too much information right away. I could have said, no, this happened way back when you were a kid. And he might have gone, okay, that's not fitting, you know, consciously mm-hmm. with what I'm thinking about. So you don't want to do that. It could have broken rapport. So I say, okay, well, let's go back to that incident. And so we find out what's going on there. And so I was like, well, what did you want from your wife? And he was like, well, I wanted support. And I was like, that's not all you wanted. And he said, I wanted her to love me. And I was like, yeah, that's what you want. That's what you want from a spouse, right? And so I said, well, so what were you feeling instead? And he says, I was feeling abandoned. And I was like, okay, so where does that originate from? Walk that feeling back. And I helped him like connect to the feeling in his body, because that's where we carry our feelings. And I was like, walk that feeling back. And how far back do you go? And he goes, I'm 4 years old. My parents were there, but they weren't emotionally available to me. So I felt abandoned. And I was like, yeah, I mean, it just all started to fit together. Like a 4 year old would say, I'm afraid I'll be a bad person or something like that. And it's around that age that, you know, our parents, even if they mean well, a lot of times there's limited communication or lack of communication can make you feel like you have to now earn their love. Their love is conditional. You have to jump through hoops or whatever. And that's where that whole idea of self-worth comes from, which we'll probably cover repeatedly on these podcasts, because it's such a pervasive problem. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that was the story. And so, yeah, we just had to bring in the resources and update his map of reality that, no, in fact, he's not a bad person. And also, too, I mean, we sometimes do bad things, but that doesn't make us bad people. And so we have to make that distinction between behavior and identity. And so we did that, gave him the resources, grow him back up. And it'd be interesting to see. This was just yesterday, so it'd be interesting to see what changes happen now for him.
Yeah, definitely. And we're fortunate. I mean, we were the three of us were talking a few minutes ago, and Yuli was mentioning some things. I'm like, I wonder if it's a limiting belief. And it's nice when you have a community around you that's supportive in that way. If you don't currently, well, how would you kind of like flush these things out, you know, so you can move forward in your life?
I think journaling is a great way. I journal every morning, and I would say for sure, working through what I was working through with YouTube, I did a lot of journaling around this. And what journaling does is especially if you do it in a free writing sort of way, where the conscious mind is not jumping in and trying to correct your grammar and say, no, we got to think this way or that way. And this is why I don't like affirmations. Affirmations is really your conscious mind trying to impose, you know, whatever reality you're trying to impose. And it's like, no, you got to find out what's going on in your map. And so if you write quickly, and not maybe quickly is not the right word, but without stopping, without trying to overthink it or overanalyze, you just let the words flow. Your unconscious is going to say a lot of those things that you're going to realize that sounds like a child. So what was happening there? Okay, this is probably when this part of my map of reality was created at a young age. And so what was going on? I got a lot of what I wanted when I was a kid by doing what I was supposed to do.
Sure.
And that was my strategy. My brothers had a different strategy. They just wanted attention and they didn't care if it was positive attention or negative attention. And I saw that and I was like, I definitely don't want that because I could see how it limits them. And so I did what I was supposed to do. And then when I was doing things that I wasn't supposed to do, I just made sure that I covered my tracks very well. So here I am, you know, 45 years old, being angry at YouTube and basically being angry at people for not responding to the videos that I was putting out there, the content that I was putting out there. And I was like, what is happening? I'm doing everything that I'm supposed to do. And realizing suddenly, well, that's that limitation that's surfacing. So now that I have the unconscious limitation conscious now, mm-hmm. well, now I can work with that.
Yeah, yeah. I just want to highlight two things that I've heard. Well, so one was internal dialogue. Oh. You know, I'm referencing, you know, an age based off of that the ideas that the internal dialogue is communicating, right? Because we're all we're feeling feelings based off of our own communications within ourselves, right? And then the other one was a feeling like and you mentioned earlier about regenerative feelings versus limiting feelings. Can we talk a little bit about that?
Well, so what happens when you bump into these limitations and you don't realize they're coming from within? Mm-hmm. Well, you get angry, and if you hold on to anger long enough, it turns into resentment, and we're likely to blame. And when we blame, we render ourselves actionless. We don't do anything because if it's not my fault, then there's nothing I can do about it. If it's that person's fault, there's nothing I can do about it. So we blame, and that immobilizes us. And so, especially like resentment, it's that holding onto that anger, and that's a type of emotion that's also going to render you, you know, immobilized. You can't do anything with that because it's all based on what the world is doing to you, what people are doing to you, and you have no control over. Yeah. And so you just feel helpless and hopeless, and you feel like a victim, and that just keeps you static. Right. Now, we have other emotions that can be generative, and actually anger can be generative. I know I've used it. I know of very successful people mm-hmm. who will use anger to get them going.
Short term.
Yeah. But if you don't transform that anger, it's always going to, if you're holding on to it, it's going to turn into resentment, and it's going to limit you. Mm-hmm. So if you can say, yeah, I'm angry and I want to prove something here. Okay. If it gets you off the couch, then sure, do that. But just know that that is not a good long-term strategy. You have to then transform that anger into something else. And so emotions like, or feelings like gratitude, kindness, happiness, joy, enthusiasm, these are very generative, and we can use those to drive us forward. Now, there's a problem that comes in, though, if we start to feel like we have to be dependent on emotion to get us going. And that's where you hear people say things like, well, I'm not motivated, as if there's such a thing as like motivation that's floating around, and I need to, you know, reach out and grab a piece of that motivation so that I can get myself going. So if you're waiting, and that's another immobilizing mindset, if you're waiting to feel the right thing in order to do something, then now you're dependent on emotion, right? And now you're stuck again.
Isn't it as simple as just focusing on being positive?
Say more about that.
No, like, for example, yeah, sure, you're not waiting for motivation to come, but just be like, okay, I have so many negative feelings, but what if I shift my focus?
Of you focusing on something positive that then motivates you?
I'm always positive. I don't know. It's... like, that's what motivates me the entire time. For example, I was very motivated to work very hard the past few weeks because I was very optimistic that and positive, thinking I'm going to have a few days off in Bahamas, and I really wanted to enjoy those days off. I really want to stay on the beach. I want to relax, and I just don't want to have, you know, the whole mind covered with tasks I have to accomplish for work, or things are not going as planned. And that really motivated me.
So did you see yourself on the beach?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, you totally look at her eyes, so get all bright and everything. So your focus wasn't on positivity, because you can't see positivity.
Well, okay.
Your focus was on a vision of what you wanted. you wanted
that
to
was
be,
positive.
Well, yeah, that's how you, yeah. you judged it to be. So you see yourself lying on the beach without having to worry about work,
mm-hmm.
and you're drinking out of your coconut, right? And,
yeah.
and so like you see that, and that's very motivating. And so you go, yeah, that's what I want. And I can have that if I get all this work done, because if I get it all done, then I don't have to do it later.
Yeah, but now I'm looking back on it. It was a shift of perspective, because at first I found my entire project to be very daunting. I felt like I don't even know where to tackle it. It felt like this is going to take months. I don't even know what to do. And then it was like, oh, hold on a second. I want to enjoy my trip. And then I shifted from seeing the entire thing very negative and being like, this is impossible. This is like, I don't even want this project to succeed. It's like, it's them. It's just, and I shifted from that perspective to seeing the positive side. So that's what I'm saying here is like, even if you have anger or resentment, can it just be sometimes as simple as changing the perspective?
Well, this is what we call scope and category.
Mm.
The theory that Steve Andreas created for pretty much how we make meaning of the world around us. And it's rooted in NLP, neuro-linguistic programming. So if you had only put your attention on the work
mm-hmm.
and nothing else, what did that feel like?
Boring.
Yeah, and it's not motivating. Yeah. And but then when you so you have that image,
yeah.
and then you bring in the image of you lying on the beach with the coconut and the sun and the palm tree and all that, then you go, mm-hmm. oh, I have a choice here.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I mean I'm just actually mimicking what I heard you say in your words. That's all mm-hmm. I'm doing right now. And so then you go, well, I want that thing. I want the beach without all the work and without having to worry about all this other stuff. And so then this probably got really dim and moved into sort of the periphery. And this probably took center stage. And I know it did, because you were working till 10 or 11 at night. And I was like, babe, can we just hang out? And you were like, we'll do that in the Bahamas. So you're putting that's your vision.
Yeah.
And that's what was motivating you. And so this doesn't seem like a big deal anymore. It's just like, it's just something you got to work through to get to the other thing.
I even started to enjoy it. Yeah. It was, yeah. it became a pleasant challenge, and it was like, I can do it. I'm seeing it. So. Mm-hmm.
Well, I just want to say one more thing. You gave that more meaning and purpose now.
Yeah.
Yes.
And another thing during that experience that I noticed that as she got clearer, had clarity around the plan, got closer to it, you started to realize that it was possible. And there's Yulia has a generalization of being optimistic, you know? And so,
mm-hmm.
so since she saw the possibility, the outcome that was possible in the future, and started to sort for and organize a project to be possible. Right. And then the closer you got to it, the more momentum it built.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
It's pretty neat how we work, right? So there's it was very supportive for you to be optimistic,
yes.
right? And because you were able to sort for possibility, right? In that case, can we talk a little bit about generalizations, beliefs, and like what they are for a second, just to give context?
Let's give a little more lead up to it, and okay. I would say what a lot of people do that you didn't do, which I think is why you succeeded at what you did. Is they do put too much dependency on being in the right state and having the
sure.
right feeling or the right emotions.
Sure.
People go, well, you know, I'm not feeling motivated, or I'm not feeling joyful, or I'm not feeling optimistic. And as if that emotion sort of has its own life aside from you, apart from you. And we do this a lot. We project out externally. And so if you listen to someone talk about it that way, and what it sounds like they're saying is that it is out there in the ether, so to speak. And it's a matter of whether or not it kind of floats around and blesses me with that feeling. And it's really, they're putting their attention in the wrong place. So we need to move beyond depending on emotions. And in NLP, they focus a lot on states and resources. And for even those, I find states to not be very stable. You can do anchors or whatever, but I've never found that anchors worked that well for me, because sure, it would put me in the state temporarily, but then that state would go away. So it's really hard to, I mean, the idea of anchoring is that you anchor the state, but I've always found that no, they still pass. And what that really originates from is, again, that impoverished map of reality. If your map is still impoverished, you're not going to be able to anchor that state down, and it's not going to be stable. And so the next step would be, well, resources. And the classical NLP is you have a present state and you have a desired state. And that's basically where I'm at right now and where I want to be, or what goal I want to accomplish. And it's never about the goal. It's never about the material possession. It's never about the experience. It's about what you think that experience is going to make you feel. It's about what you think accomplishing that goal is going to make you feel. And so even that is still not as stable as a generalization, because now we're getting into the map. When we talk about a generalization, we're talking about your map of reality. I have this set of experiences, so my expectation is that this is the way the world's going to play out. Your generalization about yourself is that I'm a positive and optimistic person. Mm-hmm. So even though you seem to have like this mountain in front of you that was starting to bring you down, you go, wait a minute, my generalization about myself is that I'm positive and optimistic. So now I can bring the mountain down over here, and now I see the vision of what I want. And now this isn't a mountain anymore. This is just a bump.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And now I see the vision because I've generalized myself. My map of reality is that I'm a positive and optimistic person. And so that tells you that in order for the world to make sense, mm-hmm. you have to align to that generalization. And that's the power of generalization. And when that is in your map of reality, that how you generalize yourself to be is all the positive qualities that you value, then you're going to make it out of any situation. You're going to solve any problem. And that's exactly where I ran face to face with the limitation that I had. And I don't know if it was one single quality that I could attribute it to, but one thing I do know is I'm very, very persistent.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Very persistent. It's the strongest quality.
Even when it's
quality.
Negative.
Even when it's negative, I go, I'm going to figure this out. Mm-hmm. And if you're not quite sure how to change generalizations and transform generalizations for all of you watching, there is a process to do that. But what I can give people that is the most powerful thing you can do without knowing all the technical side of what we teach and how to actually transform a generalization, commitment. Mm-hmm. If you fully commit and you say, okay, I'm going to do this, I'm going to figure this out, which is very much what you did.
Yeah.
You thought you were committing to the Bahamas, but the truth was you were committing to what you believe about yourself, that you're a positive mm-hmm. and optimistic person, and that commitment couldn't be broken. So you had to find a way to solve this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How did you solve your issue?
I generalized myself to be a teacher. I generalized myself to be persistent. I generalized myself that no matter what, I'm going to find a way to live a fulfilling life. And what's wonderful about generalizing yourself in certain positive ways that are based on your values is that goals and strategies don't matter so much anymore. So what started to happen for me was I realized, well, wait a minute, is it views and subscribers that really matters to me about this? And it was like, no, it's not. What really matters to me is that I have a voice and a platform to teach, and that the right people are showing up to learn. I'm even getting goosebumps talking about it because that's my mission mm-hmm. in life. And when I'm aligning to that, like, that is my highest value. I feel like I'm fulfilling my potential that way.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's what came through. And I was like, I'm going to make videos even if two people watch it. I'm going to make videos if one person watches one of my videos. As soon as I did that, it was like everything broke open. The channel started growing again. The views started coming back. And it was like, that wasn't even the goal anymore. It was just, no, this is, I'm going to do this because this is who I am. This is what I value. And this is what is useful to me. And I know it's useful to other people.
Sure.
And that got me going again.
And I know I've seen all of this, you know, where you were before and where you were after. And the change was amazing.
You were like, you're not getting upset.
You manage it so well. And it was like, is it you? Like, this is you? Like, just a few months ago, you couldn't handle it this way. And I was very, very happy to see your transformation. It was amazing.
Where do you put your attention? Where do you put your focus? Scope and category. You put your attention on the right scope, and you will get the right meaning and the right purpose out of it. And then there's just, it never fails to work. That's just how we function.
A couple of things I just want to highlight for everybody, because I know that Damon covered a lot and Neely covered a lot so far. So we have thoughts and feelings as a way to start to notice if it's external or internal, as far as your biggest opportunity to make a change and move towards your goals. The next thing is states versus generalizations. A lot of people, they felt inspired before, motivated before, or optimistic in those kinds of things, and they think of them as states, and they're waiting for them to show up. But states are like, they're like water. They're meant to move. They're meant to move. Now, generalizations are a function of our map of the world and a map, our map of ourselves. And so when you can learn to alter those, then you can alter your reality, right? Because you're altering your own map. And that's where and your attention, your focus is going to go based off of what you believe about yourself, which is generalizations.
Generalizations can also be generalizations you make about the world around you. Sure, the most powerful ones are going to be the ones you make about yourself. Mm. Because if you make a generalization about the world, that the world is a hostile place, you can hide. You can find a place to go where you feel like, you know, or like if your success, you feel like your lack of success is because the economy is bad. Well, you can go somewhere else where the economy is good, or you can wait it out until the economy comes back. Or you can say, well, maybe I'm in the wrong business. But if your generalization about yourself is that you're a failure, now it doesn't matter where you go, you're going to find a way to fail, because that's how you generalize the world. And people say, well, why would anyone do that? It's because you're not hardwired for success. You're not even hardwired, I don't think, for fulfillment. You're hardwired to survive. And what does survival, I mean, it's still where our evolution is. It's unfortunately because everything else has stepped up beyond what our evolution is. But if you're hardwired to survive, and the thing that creates survival is certainty. And if you disconnect from what you believe about yourself, what follows that is confusion and chaos. And that is just way too scary. It's scarier than failure. It's scarier than being a loser or feeling that way or having low self-worth. So if we generalize ourselves as failures, we will find a way to fail. And there's no hiding from that. There's no changing locations or waiting out the economy. It's like, no, you're going to find a way to make that happen. Now, if you believe you are a success, exactly the opposite. You will find a way to succeed no matter what. And so the generalizations about the world are one thing, but generalizations about yourself, that's where the gold is.
What does someone do once they've identified? What are some ways someone can go about, you know, upgrading their own software?
Yeah. So, if you're bumping up against a limitation immediately, what you want to do is, let's take Yulia for example. She bumped up against a limitation. She was like, oh my God, it's going to be so hard. I don't know if this is even possible. And what did she do? She may not have even asked herself this question, but she at some point said, well, what do I want instead? And we had this trip coming up to the Bahamas. And what you decided was, I want to go on that trip. I don't want to be worried about this. So I want to complete this before we go on the trip. And so she did a what do I want instead question for herself, even though she might not have consciously asked that. So when we bump up against a limitation, the first thing we want to do is say, well, what do I want instead of this? In addition to owning the fact that it's our limitation, it's so easy to blame other people for it. It's so easy to blame, you know, external circumstances. But if we can own it and then say, what do I want instead? Now you just empowered yourself to do something about it.
Right. So it's like taking responsibility rather versus what you're mentioning earlier about people talking about their feelings like they're out in the world, right? Like this fundamental. Yeah. Which gives you leadership, right?
Exactly.
It gives you the control to make the changes you want.
And empowerment, that's another great generalization. Do you want to believe that you're an empowered person, or do you want to believe you're a victim? Now, what people do a lot of times, they'll say, well, I'm feeling like a victim. And so they'll say, well, I want power. And then that's a trap. That's a trap for sure, because power always implies power over something. And it's also, when you do experience power, it's not satisfying. It's not fulfilling. You want more immediately. And that's why powerful people just want more power. If power was satisfying, you'd reach a certain level and you go, I'm satisfied. Just like happiness. You reach a certain level of happiness and you go, yeah, life is good. You know? So empowerment, you don't want to go to power, you want to go to empowerment. How do you empower yourself to now take control of this. And that's by taking responsibility and by not blaming anyone else or anything else.
And this, it might sound like a nuance to you, but what Damon's speaking from is from experience of helping lots of people change.
So myself.
Right. And so you, so, and so everything, you know, your thoughts, your beliefs are a cause, and your, and the way you maneuver through the world is the effect. Right. So, so that's why it, he'll speak very precisely on those things. So let's say someone accepts, you know, that they're responsible for, and then what was the next step?
I think if without knowing the stuff that we teach, because that's really
sure.
That's why we teach what we teach, right?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Without knowing all that, then commitment is your best shot. Okay. Committing not to a goal. I always say don't ever commit to a goal, because what happens is you get closer and closer to the goal and you start to realize this isn't going to do it for you. It's not going to fulfill you. Mm-hmm. So I always say don't commit to a goal or a strategy, because a strategy might be failing. And it's, I don't know if you've experienced, I'm sure you've experienced this, where you watch someone with a failing strategy who won't let it go because
sure.
they feel like if they let the strategy go, even though it's a failing strategy, then they have nothing.
Sure.
And they would rather wrap their hands up and hold on to a failing strategy than have no strategy at all. And it's, and people do the same with goals. Mm-hmm. And it's painful to watch that, because you just want to be like, no, no, don't do that. But, and they, it's really hard for them to hear you. And I could probably say that that's what I was experiencing a year ago. And even though I know all this stuff and I teach all this stuff, there's that saying, you can't see the ingredients from inside.
Sure,
the jar.
Sure, sure, sure.
Like, yeah. That's exactly what I was experiencing. Mm-hmm. So commitment to a value, and especially a value that you, or a generalization that you value about yourself. And for me, I've always fallen back on persistence. I generalize myself to be a persistent person. It's one of my highest values. I value persistence because I know if I persist enough, I'll get there. And so commitment is, it's not a shortcut, but it's the best shot you have if you don't understand how to actually transform a generalization. And the reason why we're not going to go into how to do that is because that's a, our whole it's training a, program.
It's a,
that, yeah.
It's a big topic. It's yeah. beyond the scope of our chat today, for sure.
Yeah.
So we've talked so far about, you know, identifying the beliefs, the difference between states of failures and also our, sorry, states and generalizations, and how to overcome failures by making changes, identifying beliefs and committing to move through them. You know, what if you could go back in time, what kind of advice would you be giving yourself earlier this year?
Ooh. That's a good question. I wish you had asked me that. Time to think of a really good answer. What would I tell myself? I would just tell myself, remember why you're doing this. Remember what is really important here.
And, do you feel like that's where you started and you kind of got lost in the journey and you had this big moment and then you had to go back? Okay, actually, this is the same view as when I started, but for some reason I lost it in the journey. Is it something like
that's
that?
A really good question. I think so. I think at a certain point I said, okay, if we get more views, then we get more followers and more people knowing
change
about
more
this,
lives, yeah.
more, yeah, change more lives, grow the business. We're all, you know, the tide rises and we all, you know, all boats rise in the tide. Mm-hmm. I think that's was probably the origination of it. I think where I got caught up is, you know, here I'm working with this guy who is working with some of the top creators and he's helping them. And I started to get sort of seduced into that idea of like, yeah, I could be one of these big, you know, top influencers. And yeah, I just, my perspective got shifted in the wrong direction. And so I would, yeah, that would be my advice, is just to go back and tell myself, just stay connected to what is important about this. And yes, if you reach more people, that's great. But the strategy that we're talking about, strategies, the strategy that I was being taught by this guy, which nothing wrong with it, this is what I asked him to do for me or help me with, was just to, well, reach as many people as you possibly can, get as many people watching, even to the point of not going full on clickbait, but sort of partially going clickbaity, mm-hmm. just to get the person to click on your video and start to watch it. And then hopefully they connect with it and then they go the rest of the way. But this isn't necessarily for everyone. Mm-hmm. I wish it was. I wish everybody could hear the message and go, yeah, I want to do that. And mm-hmm. then the world changes overnight. Probably not going to happen. But it, I think the most important thing is not that everybody hears the message, but that the right people hear the message. Sure.
What was interesting in your journey was that along while you were in the entire, you know, situation, you had certain clues that something's not quite right. For example, whenever a video was getting very few views, that was really upsetting you. But then we did have some successes. And whenever the video was getting a lot of views, you realized it doesn't quite make me happy.
That was a good
clue. And that was a good clue. Yeah. Like, okay, so I'm very upset about the opposite. But then when it happens in a positive way, why doesn't it have the opposite effect on me? And it wasn't. So that was a good clue that it's not about the views. But it was so interesting to see that, because logically you would expect that you would be over the moon when you have a success, but it was not the case.
It was not fulfilling to see, a ton of views come in. Yeah, I remember being kind of perplexed by that and being like, well, yeah, why isn't that giving me the fulfillment that I thought it was going to give me? And you're right, that should have been a clue to go, okay, I need to shift my perspective here.
So, what I want to encourage you to do is to just take a little time and reflect sometime, even today if you can. You know, what do you notice as far as your thoughts and your feelings? Where are you focused in your life? Where does it feel like it's harder than it needs to be? It's very likely that it's an impoverished map if that's the case.
That's what feeling stuck is. I mean, you know right away when you feel stuck, that's about your map. Because if you think about, in so many ways, the world is, so infinite with its resources, its possibilities, its options. And there's no getting stuck in that objective reality. And now we just need to know that your operating system is the thing that's getting stuck. And one of the analogies I like to use is, what if you, on your computer, which you're probably watching right now, or your phone, what if you were functioning off of Windows 98?
Sure.
You would not even be able to watch this right now because we've upgraded so much since then that Windows 98 wouldn't be able to function in this world right now. But Windows 98 was a solution at one point. You know, Windows 98 was something that enabled you to get to access to something that you didn't have access to before. And after a while, it became outdated. Mm-hmm. And so that software needs to be updated, and that's our maps. If you're feeling stuck, know that it's not because the world doesn't want you to have what you want, and it's not because people don't want you to have what you want. I mean, sure, that may be true to a certain extent, but that doesn't have to stop you. It's your software, it's your map of reality that needs to be upgraded. Is that where we want to bring this to a conclusion?
I think so. Damon's covered a lot today, and just a reminder that there's notes. Julia, can you give some directions on how to get access to those notes?
It should be a link in the description. It shouldn't be very difficult to get it. And then we organized it in such a way that you can find also the summaries of other episodes. So in case you missed other ones or you just want to check quickly the notes, you can find them in the same place.
All right, I think we got it.
That's good. Thanks for coming.
Take care, everybody.
Take care.